You are tuned into a rebroadcast of a past live WGXC show.
This is Galen Joseph Hunter. You're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears.
The river flows tranquilly on. The flowers are red. And this is Infinite Contact. Join me, Theo 3, for forgotten frequencies and cinematic live vinyl and cassette mix journeys that bend genres and warp timelines. From deep electro vaults to dusty spiritual jazz, obscure hip-hop beats to cosmic synthscapes. Each episode is a transmission from the past and future of the infinite I Am Presence. Lock in Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m., only on 90.7 FM, WGXC.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Upstate Films, a nonprofit theater connecting the Hudson Valley through transformative cinematic experiences. Presenting Sonic Wave, an ongoing music and sound-rich series screening in an Atmos theater at the Orpheum in Saugerties every Monday night. This month playing The Promise, The Making of Darkness on the Edge of Town, Joni Mitchell, Both Sides Now, and Sly Lives, a.k.a. The Burden of Genius. Information about screenings and special guests at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Anonymous of Great Barrington, Massachusetts. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
We'll be right back. fantastic book published by the Royal Horticultural Society, and it is put together by Rosie Saunders, and it's called The Apple Book. And it's absolutely fantastic, 10 out of 10. And I'm just going to tell you my own experience of how to use that book and then get a reasonable result of accuracy. Certainly you will be able to identify if the apples you are wanting to store are good for storage. The other thing is, if you are trying to name the apple for the reasons that are outlined, always choose an apple which is representative of the variety. Now I took this one from the center of the tree, and that you can see it looks totally different. Yes, it has got a little bit of red, but it's got far more green. And so by choosing the apples and using Rosie Saunders' apple book, choose 4 or 5 apples and then choose the one which is most representative of the actual tree. Rosie Saunders' book is very good, particularly for all those varieties which were planted from 1900 onwards, so from 1900 2019. Perfect. Again, if none of those apples fit, then are very old varieties, and then you do need to get from the library another book which was written in 1883, and that was written by what was then the vice president of the Royal Horticultural Society, and his name was Dr. Robert Hogg. It is unfortunate that there are no pictures in there. Compared with Rosie Saunders' book, you can see how much progress has been made. But the descriptions of all the different varieties is fantastic. Apples come in different sizes, but you will find and different shapes, but you will find that overall, from a certain variety, the apples are either round or oblong or conical. With the apple's color varies from green, there's another green one but a different shape, oblong, or red, or yellow, or russet. Now what else can you do to make sure you have the right varieties? Well, it's the length of the stalk. Oh, the length of the stalk, you see that is very long stalk there, and here that is an old-fashioned English apple, Lycoxus. It's the stalk is thick and short. So this one is more of the Golden Delicious type. It is long and thin. So also what is important is that the actual basin of the tree apple is different. And so in the books of Rosie Saunders, she will describe exactly what it is. And so that is another point of identification. Another point of identification is the actual eye. That is the eye. Some of them are deep eyes and other eyes are very shallow. That's a shallow one. So that's another way of looking at it. Then there is the so-called cavity. And the cavity is round there. Now this is a deep cavity. You can see the stalk is really deep in there, and this is a shallow cavity. In fact, there is no deep depth at all, so that is also a very good point to recognize. Finally, And this is what I always do myself. Once you have looked at all those different points, and they're highlighted in Rosie Saunders' book, if you looked at all those different points, take the trouble to take an apple and bite in it and taste it. And the taste of apples, they're all different. And taste it again, and that will give you a very good indication. And the actual tasting, therefore, also is important to separate the cooking apples from the eating apples. A cooking apple is sour. An eating apple is sweet or nearly sweet. I hope this will help you to identify your fruits in the garden. Thank you for watching.
Chunks, and I'm going to flavor it with a little bit of orange zest and lemon zest. 1 tablespoon of orange juice and 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. This not only flavors it, but it keeps the apples from turning brown. 1/2 cup of sugar. It all depends on how sweet the apples are. These are pretty tart. 1/4 cup of flour. Teaspoon of salt. Okay, now for the spices. 3/4 teaspoon of good cinnamon. 1/2 teaspoon of good nutmeg. Love the way it smells. It smells like apple pie spices already. Okay, 1/8 teaspoon of allspice. Just really a pinch. And I'm just going to mix it all up. And then right into the crust. This is a lot of apples for this pie crust, but I like it when it's piled high. Mile high apple pie. Okay, now for the top crust. And roll it really gently over the edge. There's so many different ways to crimp a pie. I think everybody likes to do it the way their mother did it. But what I like to do is just roll the top crust underneath the bottom one. I want to make this really old-fashioned looking. Okay, once that's done, you can either crimp it with a fork. Crimping is about keeping the two crusts together so it seals in the juices. Or you can do it with your fingers. I think I'll do it with my fingers. Okay, crimped. Now, I'm going to do an egg wash. It's going to make the crust really nice and brown, which is 1 egg beaten with about 1 tablespoon of water or milk or whatever you have. Just brush the whole top. Okay. A little bit of sugar. Make it nice and shiny. And then just a few holes in the top to let the steam escape so the crust gets nice and crisp. Sort of old-fashioned. Okay, into the oven, 400 degrees for about an hour and 15 minutes.
about maybe 8-10 ounces of mixture here. And depending on how much fruit you have, this will be enough for probably 6 people at the most, maybe. Or here, I have that here. I'm going to put like a good teaspoon, maybe a little more cinnamon. You don't have to do the cinnamon. I have like a quarter of a cup of raisins here, golden raisins. My brown sugar, I would put half a cup, or maybe even a dash more, because as I said, I have bread, I don't really have any sugar in there. A couple of tablespoons of apricot here, preserved, and I have about 3/4 of a cup of orange juice, all stuff that I have in my refrigerator, and I will mix that together. What I used to do in there was actually to put, especially with apple, I used to put apple juice. You could put that also apple marmalade, you know, the puree of apple. I have a pear, which is a little damaged, as you can see here, that I have on the table, so I'm going to use that pear here, peel it, and I'll remove the damaged part. You want to take the core of that apple, you get the knife to the end, you put your thumb here, and you cut around like this. Now you have to be very careful. You know, this is dangerous. Put your thumb here. Make sure if you don't put your thumb, you go right through. So it's a technique which is very important. So that much here. I do the same thing on the other side. I can peel it by knife or with the vegetable peeler. It's perfectly fine. One or the other. Okay. Cut it in half. And you see again the center is the same way here. You can put your thumb here and remove that part here. But this you can do ahead. Actually, you should do it ahead a little bit so the bread and all that kind of soften a little bit with the juice. A nice quatre dish here. That should fit in there, hopefully. Yep. And that's going to cook in the oven 45 minutes at 400 degrees. And here is my apple brown belly getting out of the oven. 15 minutes, the knife is very creamy. Cook, I did the pear. All the liquid has been absorbed there, and you don't see any more of the bread and so forth. Maybe a little bit of sour cream on top of this, or crème fraîche. That makes really a beautiful dessert. When you have guests at home and stuff left in your refrigerator, don't hesitate, try that recipe. I know you'll enjoy it. Happy cooking.
home dessert. Today, on the French Chef.
The French Chef is made possible.
Sliced apples, and you want the apples to stay in shape, you have to get the kind of apples that will stay sliced and will not cook up into mush. Good apples are Golden Delicious, Rome Beauty, and York Imperial. And it depends really on where you live whether you can get these apples. And if you happen to be living in a canning country, you might be able to get Greenings, Newtons, or Monroe's, but canned apple slices. Or some other good varieties, again depending on where you live, are Baldwin's, Norbert's Pies, and Corkins. These are Corkins. Unfortunately, apple varieties you don't find very much of in markets. But you can always get the Golden Delicious, which is a very good apple. And when you get apples, keep them in the refrigerator, because they should be kept at around 34, 35 degrees. And if you slice them ahead, I've got about 3 or 4 quarts of apples here, they will keep their color if you... For 3 or 4 quarts, use the juice of half a lemon and grate some lemon peel into it, and then half a cup of sugar, and then stir them around with a cup of cool. Juicy, and then they bubble out into the bottom of the stove, and you just have a mess. So I think it's a very good idea to do them a little bit ahead. Now, this is tart. It's a tart, and tart always has a pie crust. And I'm always trying to urge you to learn how to make pie crust, because I think you're going to find that this is a very easy method. And for this particular tart, we just want a one crust. So we want 1 cup of flour into the bowl, and you just dip the flour in and level it off and plunk into the bowl. And then you want 3/4 stick of chilled, hard, cold butter. And you cut it up, letting the utensils fall where they may.
Thank you. ripens about the middle of October. Another variety, though, that's very good is Honeycrisp. And Honeycrisp was developed at the University of Minnesota. It, too, is a large fruited apple, very juicy, very crisp. And it can be used primarily for fresh eating. It is described, or has been described, as being explosively crisp. This third variety is called Johnnigold. It was developed in New York from a cross between Jonathan and Golden Delicious, hence the name Johnnigold. This cross was made back in the 1940s. Unfortunately, the apple variety never became popular in the United States. It had to go to Europe. And from Europe, it grew very popularly and then came back to the States. It's crisp, high quality, very juicy. Occasionally, you'll see it in the grocery stores, but more commonly, it's available in roadside markets. You know, you can grow your own high-quality apples in your backyard if you use the right varieties. This variety here is called Sundance. It was developed by Purdue, Rutgers, and Illinois. It ripens in early October. It's a high-quality, crisp, firm texture yellow apple. It's best for eating. One of the main points that would be good for you is that it is resistant to apple scab. There are a number of varieties that have recently been released that are resistant to apple scab. For more information about those, contact your local county extension office. Another new variety that you may see in grocery stores is called Pink Lady. Pink Lady was developed in Australia. And the reason it's called Pink Lady is the fact that the skin develops a really nice pink flush on it. It is very high quality, fine textured fruit. It keeps for a long time and is semi-sweet and can be eaten fresh. Now let me talk about another variety that actually lives up to its name, Pink. And that's a variety called Pink Pearl. This variety is actually an heirloom variety, developed many, many years ago. It's only recently been rediscovered. The reason it's called Pink Pearl is because, like a pearl, pink is very tart. It's only available in very limited quantities in some stores. But it is very good at it. Obviously, we can't show you all 10,000 varieties. I hope that when you're out this fall, you stop in your local roadside market and see what the first thing is.
Is an apple, but it's not just any apple. It's my favorite kind of apple. It's a kind called a Pink Lady, and I get excited when I see these at the grocery store because they don't always sell these. A Pink Lady is somewhere between being sweet and sour. It's what people call tart. Someone named Adriana has a question about another kind of apple. Let's give her a call now.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, Adriana.
I have a question for you. Largest apple in the world?
That is a great question. When you hear the word apple, you probably think of this. But you might know that there's different kinds or varieties of apples. Like, there's also this. Have you had one of these before? It tastes really sour. It's a kind of apple called a Granny Smith. Now, at the grocery store, I'm guessing you've seen a few others. Maybe you even have a favorite. I know whenever I ask people, it seems like Red Delicious and Fuji seem to be a lot of people's favorites, at least in the U.S. where I live. Fuji is a kind of apple that tastes really sweet. But what if I told you that there's even more varieties of apples than what's sold at the grocery store? There are so many different varieties of apples. There's apples that have different tastes, not just sour-tasting and sweet-tasting apples. They say this variety tastes a bit like a banana. There's apples that come in different shapes. These ones look almost more like a donut. There's apples that come in different colors, like this one with dark purple skin, or this one that's yellow, or even this one that's red on the inside. The main reason you can't find most of these apples at the grocery store is because there's just too many different kinds for the grocery store to keep in stock. How many different kinds of apples are there? Are you ready for this? The total number of different kinds of apples? There are more than 4,000 varieties of apples. But where do all these different kinds of apples come from? How did we even get different kinds of apples in the first place? What do you think? Before I say anything more, now would be a good time to pause the video and discuss. Okay, you ready? Maybe there's just different kinds of apples that grow in the different places on Earth. All of the different kinds of apples we eat today come from just one kind of apple tree, one that originally grew a long time ago. It's all thanks to people like these, apple breeders, people who plant and grow apple trees. You probably know that an apple tree grows from one of the seeds you find inside an apple. You can think of that seed as being a baby apple tree. And the tree that the apple came from was one of the baby's parents. Apple breeders know an important secret about apples, and really all plants. They know that just like with people and with animals, baby plants get some of the same traits as their parents. When an apple seed gets planted, it's going to have some of the same traits as its parents. Similar looking flowers, probably. Similar looking leaves. But, also like with people and animals, just because a baby gets some of the same traits from its parents doesn't mean it's exactly the same as its parents. Huge range of apple colors, tastes, and sizes, including this, currently the biggest apple in the world. It's a variety called Hokuto, and according to the Guinness Book of World Records, the largest Hokuto ever grown was this one, grown in the country of Japan. It weighed over 4 pounds. That's the same weight of a small watermelon. So in summary, using your knowledge,
has become a ripe apple. Time to pick the apple and eat it. You know that apples can be red, green, or yellow. But did you know that some apples are pinkish, like the pink lady apple? Or orangish, like the orange sweet apple? In fact, there are about 7,500 kinds of apples in the world. It might be fun to try all of them. Each variety or type of apple has its own taste. Some apples are super sweet, some are tart, and others are a little sour.
Using this fluted pan, but you can use a glass pan, any kind of a 10-inch round pan. Works perfectly. Okay, next the batter that goes on top of all that gorgeous fruit. Okay, first I need 2 eggs. I'm going to whip that on medium-high speed for about 2 minutes. I really love easy recipes because no matter what anybody says, entertaining's hard. When I say easy recipes, I don't mean like 3 ingredients you just throw together. What I mean is something that's really no stress, that you can do, you know it's going to come out perfectly every time, and that's what I consider easy. And that's just what this recipe is. I'm just going to turn the mixer down to medium, then add a cup of sugar. A quarter of a pound of butter that's been melted and cooled. That just makes it really easy to mix in. When you're cooking, measuring is not quite as important. When you're baking, it has to be absolutely precise. A teaspoon of vanilla. I love good vanilla. Teaspoon of salt. Really brings out the flavor of the vanilla. Okay, that's it. You don't want to overmix it once the flour's in, because then it makes it tough. It'll be like bread. You want to just treat it really gently. What I do is give it a last stir with a spatula. Okay. So I'm just going to pour the batter right on top of the fruit. This is actually something between a pie and a cake. It's got a lot of fruit in the bottom and a little batter on the top. Don't have to make pie crust. That works for me. Just make sure most of the fruit is covered. So I'm going to do a little cinnamon and sugar on top. So I need a tablespoon of sugar. I'm going to mix them together. And just about an eighth of a teaspoon of cinnamon. So if you use too much cinnamon, it has sort of a burnt taste, and it actually looks burnt. So you don't want to use too much, just enough to give it a flavor. So just put those together. And then I'm going to sprinkle it right on top. It's going to give the batter lots of flavor. I make a pear and apple crisp at my barn warming. So I've got 2 pounds of Macoun apples. I've peeled them and diced them. And I've got 2 pounds of Bosque pears. You can really choose any kind of apples that are firm and crisp. And you want pears that are firm also, but also sort of juicy. You can see when I peel them, they're just delicious. So, peel them, and then I'm going to cut them.
Important because there was war all the way around. And so what could people do in order to improve their diet during the winter months because there was so very little to eat? And one of the things what was done, and which was also done in the garden of my parents, is that they had two or three fruit trees, an earlier ripening one, and a later ripening one. The later ripening one, which ripens somewhere around about this time, so the beginning of October, they would start slicing the apples and then core the apples and then put the slices on a string in order for the slices completely to dry out. So the string was hung either in a shed or in an airing cupboard, anyway, well away from mice and rats and all that sort of thing. And the nutritional value of the sliced dried apple was nothing new, because 2,000 years ago, or thereabouts, when the Silk Roads, that means the moving from big merchants, beautiful goods like silk via the silk tracks from the east in Asia to the west. They already, the horses on the side saddles, had sliced apples dried in the saddlebags. And so this particular practice was again practiced during the Second World War. So I thought it is interesting to see how they did it. This is the finished article, and I will just slice one apple just to show you how it was done. So put the apple on the side and then be careful with the way you do it, like that. And then it flat, and then I core it, and this one split, so that was not very successful. I'll try another one. This is better. And therefore we have a nice ring like that. And so I prepared the others like that, exactly the same. And then here is the string. And then in a way of showing what actually happened, I will hang them up here outside so that you can see.
We're supercharging this.
This is bright red, bright red. This one is partially red. And then this one up here or higher up, which is right showing to the sun, it is not ready. So in other words, a good practice of good picking means pick the tree over. Do not pick it all in one go. Because the flowers, where originally the fruit was developing, the flowers on one-year-old wood always flower later than on the older wood. So therefore, the fruit which shows up here, only partially colored, is one-year-old wood. And therefore, that needs to stay in the tree at least another 10 days to fully color. Now the actual picking, I will show to you also on the same tree. One thing what I want to show you also is how much the rows which are running north-south. This is the east side. And we will walk to the west side of the tree and you will see what an enormous difference there is. So in other words, on the east side, we have far less good colored fruit ready to be picked compared with the west side. And so if we walk through the gap here, and we can see how wonderful the fruit has really colored up on this side. Now, what I also would like to show you, ladies and gentlemen, you will only get this sort of coloring as long as there is a triangle of light between the trees. It doesn't matter how you plant your trees, but as long as the tree can be illuminated with sunlight, with good light, all the way around, that's best. So therefore, planting north-south is always preferable to east-west. Now the actual picking. As I said, with the actual picking on this side, I will pick the fruits which are ready. And I go like that, and you see how easy the fruit came off. I just lift it, and there it come off. I don't even need to twist it. There it comes. So that is the way to pick the fruit. Now, when you see fruits which have got a mark, like this one, had a bird pack or anything, do not pick it with the good fruit. Either put it in a separate box or put it on the ground. When
You just heard a rebroadcast of a past